Every Lent, I'm struck by how the message of the Lenten liturgy is schizoid. On the one hand, some of the prayers speak of the joy of the Lenten season. Well, on the other hand, there is much emphasis on fasting and penance. Not a very joyful activity. The schizoid nature of Lenten liturgy is partly due to its historical origins, where we can see two separate streams coming together. One stream is based on today's gospel. The story of Jesus spending 40 days in the desert fasting. The 40 days of Lent became a time when Christians fasted with Jesus. Christians fasted for a number of reasons. First, fasting was a way of imitating Jesus. It was a way of being in solidarity with Jesus. If he fasted, so should we. Second, fasting was seen as a penance for sin. A public sinner was given a public penance. Sometimes the sinner would have to sit out in front of the door of the church in sackcloth and ashes and had to spend all of Lent sitting there. But then the sinner's willingness to do the penance was seen as a sign of his remorse and desire to set things right. And after doing the penance during Lent, he was readmitted to the Christian community at Easter. And third, fasting was seen as an ascetical exercise that fostered self-control. Christians, like many other religious traditions, also recognized that fasting sometimes clears the mind and makes it more open to spiritual experiences. And finally, the church's fasting laws had a social effect that we are beginning to become more conscious of again today. If you look at the church's laws on fast and abstinence, you know, you couldn't eat meat. Their primary impact in the Middle Ages was on the wealthy and whatever middle class there happened to be. The poor fasted all year round, whether they wanted to or not. What Lenten fast did was force the wealthy and the middle class to eat like poor people. And if we were going to try and do something like that today, it would be to try and live during Lent on a poverty level income. Eat on food stamps. Try it. So, if fast and abstinence was such a good idea, why did the church change its laws after the Second Vatican Council? The problem was that much of the theology and practice of fasting had become perverted. The human body, which was created by God, was portrayed as evil and in need of punishment, in need of being subdued. And, you know, penance like jogging became an end in itself. And the more you did, the better person you were. Penance was also seen as a way of buying forgiveness from a vengeful God. If I do enough penance, God will forgive me. And finally, the laws on fasting and abstinence were seen as so binding that if they were not observed, you were going to go to hell. So for all of those reasons, the church came to the conclusion, we need a pause on fasting and abstinence. But after a generation of ignoring fast and abstinence, Christians are beginning to take a second look. I think we can take a second look at these practices. Now it is no longer binding. It's no longer a binding law in the church, but an option, which may make sense for some people. For many, fasting could be good for both body and soul. For others, fasting is a way of experiencing the hunger of the poor. Recently, some have suggested fasting from carbon as a way to do penance and help the environment. Whatever the reason for fasting, the money saved from it should be given to the poor. Now, others may prefer a more positive approach to Lent, where they choose to do something more for Christ rather than something less. For example, tutoring or serving the homebound, the elderly, or others in need. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of my homily that the Lenten liturgy is the result of two historical streams coming together. The first is the desire to imitate Jesus through fasting. But Lent was also a joyful time when catechumens were instructed in the Christian faith in preparation for baptism at the Easter Vigil. And if you've ever been to the Easter Vigil, you see how much fun it is when we have the pond here and pouring water over the catechumens for the baptism. Now, during Lent, the weekday readings were used to educate the catechumens in the faith. They were the original catechism of the Catholic Church. The readings were chosen to introduce the catechumens to the Christian life. The way it would work is, all the catechumens would go to the cathedral, they would hear these readings, and then the bishop would come out and explain the readings to the people. And that was their education in the faith. These readings are better than any book or catechism. They can call all of us to a deeper appreciation of our faith. So reading and praying over the daily scripture readings during Lent is a wonderful way to enrich our lives as Christians. You can find these readings very easily online at the Bishop's Conference website, usccb.org. Or you can use a free app called iBreviary on your smartphone. Or you can, if you'd prefer to listen to the readings, you can listen to the podcast of the readings. As we continue the liturgy, though, we need to remember that Lent is not an end in itself. It points to the death and resurrection of Jesus, which we celebrate in the Eucharist. We come to the Eucharist to unite ourselves with Jesus in giving thanks and praise to God. We come to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can continue his mission of love and justice and peace in our world. And the blue books go to page 1.